Anchorage Police Department Detective Glenn Klinkhart recently retired from APD after 17 years on the force, but he's hardly kicking back. Klinkhart helped launch the cybercrimes unit at APD a decade ago. Now, five full-time officers work not only on computer forensics, but are online catching child predators. He's written a new book to aid parents in keeping their kids safe online. He says the internet has allowed those with ill intent to have access to children and communicate with them, but it's also let law enforcement have access too. Klinkhart says his book gives an overview of the internet and also gets into specifics parents should know about.
Such as internet protocol addresses, why those are important. Talking about things more specific now, that we've got the tablets, we've got the iPads, we've got the kids have smartphones, not just cell phones anymore, but these kids have computers attached, you know, to them. And that adds a whole nother level of concern that parents need to be aware of. So when you talk about if I was to encompass a lot of what's in this book, it's about being aware of those things, just as parents have to be aware that your kids are on bikes, you don't want them to be hurt, so you make them wear a helmet. They need to know that your child having a Facebook page, having Twitter, having a cell phone that has 24 hours a day, you know, connectivity has some risks, and you need to mitigate those risks by setting up rules. Just as you wouldn't allow them to take the car in the middle of the night, you really shouldn't allow them to have full internet access in the middle of the night either.
I know that parents can lock their kids out of certain cable channels. If they have cable television in their home, they can set it up so that kids can't get on certain channels. Is it as simple a process to do something similar online where people can block certain sites for their kids, or what do you recommend in that regard?
Well, and that's another reason why I put the book together. There are actually some free, easy-to-use things that are they're minor, and they're little bits and things that you can do, and I actually have some instruction in the book. For example, some people don't know that Google, the big search engine, has a preferences setting that you can set to filter the results, and they actually do a very good job of filtering it. So if you turn on that filtering to your Google when your family searches on things, so for example, I like to use the one where if your child is doing a report on breast cancer awareness, they're not going to get porn if those filters are set. That's completely free and actually with two or three clicks can be done. But I also warn in the book that that's not an end all. It does go down to having rules and talking about it.
Do you suggest, as many do, that your children's computer should be in an open area, shouldn't be in their bedroom? And is there an age at which you think that should shift? When do we start trusting them so that they can have access without our constant eye?
The first part is yes. I still believe that parents need to physically put boundaries on the computer, and especially the younger kids, being able to so that they know. And as they get older, they also know that your parents know what's going on and can see. So you can have that control. But you're absolutely right. As your children grow and become, you know, decision makers, as much as we don't like them to, a good example would be my son, who is just turned 14, has been getting on his father about having Facebook for the last couple of years. So here I am having to read my own book and talk to him about it. So, and again, at some point he needed to have that freedom and needed to be able to have that contact. So, but we had rules. We set up these rules that he could have a Facebook, but I had to be his friend on Facebook and I have to have his username and password. The other thing that I told him is, guess what? Having these decisions and being able to make these decisions on your own about what you post and who you contact and who your friends are does come with some responsibility. So guess what? You are going to be responsible for everything that's on your Facebook, but not just you, but your friends as well. So that invites him to have a conversation with his friends. Don't post anything because I'm going to get in trouble or I have rules that I have to abide by.
I like the idea of having the username and password. That's a good decision for a parent. Do you then check on that every now and then to make sure he doesn't change the password?
And yes, but I think maybe around the check, you can just simply have a conversation with them so that they don't have that feeling like you're checking on them. But, you know, an interesting kind of parallel is those parents who ask about, do you look at your child's diary? You know, do you go into the room and search it now and again? My personal advice from a police officer who does a lot of searches is you need to have some reason to it. Again, it's that having that respect and allowing them to grow and make decisions And they need to know that if they give you probable cause, to use a legal term, to do that, I think that that's well within, you can then play the heavy, but you don't need to be the heavy all the time. You got to give them that room.
Glenn Klinkhart is a retired APD detective and author of the new book, A Cyber Cop's Guide to Internet Child Safety. Links are at our website, alaskapublic.org.